so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in.
Every person that's joining us right now who's worshiping with us, we just pray that there'll be peace, there'll be hope, there'd be joy, and we declare favor in the name of Jesus. Amen. So good to join with us today, and we are so excited to have a very special friend of us today to come and preach the word. A few weeks ago when this whole thing started, Pastor Jesse got on the phone with Pastor Robert and said, "Hey, would you do a sermon for us?" And his answer right away was, "Yeah, of course I will." And so he did a sermon just for us, and it's coming up. So wherever you are, just settle in and just receive the word for Pastor Robert Madu.
I'm excited to share God's word with you today. I hope you're ready. I hope you're leaning in. We've been saying during this season that church is online. You still have to participate. Have to lean in, get excited, shout at the screen. And I believe God's presence is going to hit you right where you are. And I want to jump straight into the word of God. If you have your Bibles, pull it out. Smart device, pull it out. I really believe that this word is for this time and for this season. I want you to go with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 20. I want to look at verses 19 through 22. The Gospel of John chapter 20, we'll start at verse 19 and we'll land at verse number 22. And you can chill where you are, honor the word of God in your heart, but I'm going to sit down so I don't get too excited. Because this is a good word. John chapter 20, starting at verse number 19, and we'll land at verse number 22. And look at what it says. It says, "That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. 'Peace be with you,' he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.' Then he breathed on them." He said, "I want you to catch this. Breathe on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" That is good stuff. Look at verse 19 again. It says, "That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors." Locked doors. I want to preach today, not long in this season. I promise you this will be a short message. But I want to preach today using this as a title, "Locked In." Locked in. I want you to look at whoever you're with, even if you're tired of looking at them. Would you just look at them right in the face and say, "I'm locked in"? Oh, come on. Some of y'all didn't say it. I can still hear you. Look at them and say, "I am locked in." Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you that your presence knows no limits. You can meet us wherever we are. Lord, our hearts are ready to hear from you. God, in dark times, we need your word, because your word, it is a light unto our feet. It is a lamp unto our path. Speak to us today, and may we never be the same. In Jesus' name, everybody said, come on right there in your kitchen, say, amen. Locked in. Make no doubt about it, we were all created with a craving for community. At our essence, at our very core, we are all social beings, uniquely and distinctly designed with a desire to be fully loved and fully known. One of the challenges that we face in this season of social distancing is that it is completely opposite to who we are. We're created for connection. We were made for hugs and high fives and kisses. We were created to connect. I don't care what your personality is. I don't care what your Enneagram score is. Even the greatest introvert was never meant to bear the burden of isolation. As a matter of fact, the psalmist Celine Dion was right when she said, all by myself, don't want to be all by myself. Nobody likes isolation, because whether you're an adult in solitary confinement or whether you're a toddler in timeout, nobody wants to be alone. Nobody wants to be in isolation. I don't care how spiritual you are. Because I know some church people in this season, you're like, I thank the Lord for this quarantine. Yes, because I don't need anybody but Jesus. Just me, myself, and God. That's all I need. That sounds cute, but it's not real. Because Adam had God. You know Adam in the book of Genesis. Adam had God. He had the presence of God. Adam had groceries. He was in the original Whole Food Market. He had animals. He had the entire animal kingdom. He had God, and yet God still looked down at Adam and said, it is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. Understand that that is deeper than a spouse. That's deeper than marriage. That's deeper than procreation. That actually speaks to reflection. Reflection, because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God says, let us make man in our image. Let us. Who is the us? God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. God, a community, three in one. He said, let us make man in our image. In other words, Adam could not accurately reflect the image of God alone. He needed somebody. You need somebody. It is not good for man to be alone. However, after 16 plus days in my house with my 5-year-old, my 4-year-old, and my 2-year-old, I want to declare today that yes, it is not good for man to be alone, but it is also not good for man to be alone with his kids. Come on, somebody. I'm not complaining. We've had awesome family moments, family memories, family movie nights, family walks. I'm not complaining. All that is good. But can I get a witness? Type in the amen. Cabin fever is real. It is real. I'm telling you. It seems like in our household that tension and irritability is running high, and patience and snacks are running low. Because yes, we crave community, but when that community has to be confined, it can drive you crazy. You can feel like the walls are starting to close in because you feel like you are locked in. What do you do when you feel like you are locked in? I love my text today because this text could not be more appropriate for the season we are living in, because the Bible says in the Gospel of John chapter 20 that the disciples are locked in. They are literally locked in a room, a house together. I don't know how many of the disciples are there. I do know that Judas, the original hater, is not there. Thomas is missing. So let's just do a little math. 12 minus 2, that's 10. So 10 of them perhaps are locked in this room. 10 of them. So they're in the governmental guidelines of a gathering. 10 of them are locked in this room. And you have to understand their emotional state, because just 2 days prior, they watched Jesus, their Lord, their Savior, their Master, the one that they forsook everything to follow him. They watched him crucified on a cross. They watched him die a gruesome and bloody death. They watched him get arrested and whipped and beaten. They watched him as he was hung high and he was stretched wide. They watched him say, Father, into my hands I commit my spirit. They watched him die. So on one hand, they're suffering and dealing with the death of Jesus, which was an execution. But on the other hand, they are dealing with the death of an expectation. You understand that when Jesus died on the cross, the disciples' expectations died. They weren't expecting Jesus to die. They were expecting him to overthrow the Roman government. They were expecting him to establish an earthly kingdom. Because after all, he kept preaching about a kingdom, and they were already picking out their robes and arguing over which side they were going to stand on. They were not expecting Jesus to die. Him dying on the cross was the death of their expectation. What do you do when your expectation has died? As a matter of fact, suffering has been defined as the gap between your expectation and your current reality. And man, isn't that where the world is right now? Because all of us are suffering because we're experiencing something that we weren't expecting. Come on, you weren't expecting to be unemployed. You were not expecting to have to lay people off. You were not expecting to have a baby and not be able to have family in the room to hold that baby. You were not expecting to lose that loved one. You were not expecting to have to take your classes online and not be able to walk across the stage for graduation. Nobody was expecting that. Whenever you're experience something that you weren't expecting, how many know that does not mean that God is not moving? The disciples weren't expecting Jesus to die, but they should have been. So on one hand, I can relate to the disciples. They were not expecting Jesus to die, but on the other hand, I kind of got to ridicule them because Jesus had been telling them that he was going to die. This shouldn't have come out of surprise to them. He had been telling them for 3 years this was going to happen. He even gave them metaphors. He said, it's just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth. He was telling them this should not have been a surprise. They knew on the third day he was going to rise again. And when they were locked in, it's the third day. So why did they lock the door if it third day, and he told you he was going to get up from the grave on the third day? It seems like to me you should have unlocked the door and put a big sign in the front of the yard and said, resurrection party over here. It seems like they should have been looking out the window saying, hey, this is day three. Is that him? No, his hair's not long enough. Is that him? They should have been expecting, watching, but they weren't. They were afraid. They locked the door. Why would they lock the door instead of open the door, waiting for Jesus to come in? I think it's in verse 19 of the text. I want us to look at it today. Verse 19 of that scripture, it says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid. Oh, that's why the door is locked. The door is locked because they were afraid. Fear made them lock the door. No wonder they can't remember the words of Jesus. Because it's hard to hear when fear is in your ear. It's hard to hear when fear is shouting, lock the door. They weren't just locked in the room. They were locked into fear. Fear is what made them lock the door. And fear will make you do things that faith won't. They locked the door because they were afraid. Fear said to them, you just watched them arrest and crucify Jesus. What makes you think they're not going to do the same thing to you? And fear made them lock the door. I used to think that the disciples' biggest problem was that they were locked in the room. But I think their biggest problem is that they were locked in to fear. Because where you lock in is critical. See, I titled this message Locked In, not because of the disciples' location. I titled the message Locked In because of their focus, what they were locked into. And can I tell you, in this season of uncertainty and unprecedented times, your focus is everything. Where you are locked into is absolutely everything. Your focus matters in this season right now. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to say it. Focus, focus, focus. Would you say that with me? Focus, focus, focus. Right there in your bathrobe, say it. Focus, focus, focus. Come on, get the kids in on it. Focus. Focus, focus, focus. But Robert, the world is going crazy. I know. Focus, focus, focus. But Robert, didn't you see the Dow Jones? Focus, focus, focus. But I just lost it. Focus, focus, focus. But it seems like everything is spinning. Focus, focus, focus. That is what God is saying for us to do in this season, that your focus has got to be strategic. Focus. My baby sister Amanda, shout out to her. I used to take her to her dance recitals. That was what I did when I was 16. I was her Uber driver, and I would take her to her dance recitals. And I'll never forget her being in these ballet practices, and she would be doing ballet, and you know how they do in ballet, just all of this and spinning, and they would just go on and spin, spin, spin. I'll never forget one time I asked her, I said, doesn't that make you dizzy? All that spinning, aren't you just going crazy? Doesn't that make you dizzy? She said, no, because I just found my spot. I said, huh? She said, I had to find my spot. She said, whenever you do a spin, you have to find your spot, something that is stationary in the room, something that it will not move, something that has some solidarity to it. And once you find your spot, it doesn't matter how many times you keep spinning. As long as your eye is fixed on the spot, you can keep spinning, but you keep your eyes on the spot. And even though everything is spinning, if your eye is locked in on the thing that is not moving, you can keep your head, you can keep your calm, because your eye is fixed on the spot. Focus, focus, focus. This is about your focus in this season. Where's your focus? Somebody's saying, what about fear? What about faith? I think both of those have to do with focus. Ooh, you know me, I don't care if it's just me in the sanctuary. I got to give you a visual and give you an illustration. Everybody, especially in this season, is talking about faith and talking about fear. Talking about faith and talking about fear. But I think it's a matter of focus. As a matter of fact, my first point is shift your focus. Ooh, how's that? Shift your focus. Is it about faith or is it about fear? Because people are operating to both extremities. We have some people in the culture that are all the way on fear, just losing their mind. It's the end of the world, waiting for zombies to come out of a closet, just operating in complete fear and complete panic. But how many panic and fear is a worse virus than a corona? They're just operating in complete fear, crippled by fear. Then you have some people who are on this extreme, and they're about faith, and they're quick to tell you, I tell you what, I'm not afraid of anything. God's not given me a spirit of fear. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I got faith. Am I scared? I'm not even breaking a sweat. I'm not scared at all. And they tout their faith, but some people who are claiming faith, their faith seems hollow. It seems fake. Because how many of you know a faith that makes you suppress your feelings is not real? How many of you know God can handle your feelings? Yes, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but that does not mean that I don't get afraid. Oh, yes, fear is an emotion. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's good to have some fear. Come on, when your baby girl, like mine was the other day, is running around the house with a knife, I had a little fear, and that made me grab the knife out of her hand. And some people are using their faith to suppress their feelings, but God can handle your feelings. So which one is it? Is it faith? Is it fear? Some people are just saying, put your faith over your fear. Which one is it? I wonder, is it possible for these two things to exist in the same space and same place? But it's all about focus. Focus, focus, focus. Let me show you how it works. Cameraman, do me a favor. Would you just focus in on faith? Put the camera focus on faith. Don't leave the faith right now. Keep it focused on faith. How many of you know fear has not left the picture, but the focus is on faith. And the only thing that is keeping the focus on faith is my word that's declaring to the cameraman, keep it on faith. That's why the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In this season, you need to be so in the word of God that it is building your faith. Keep your focus on your faith in the word of God. What he spoke in your life, it will come to pass. My focus is on my faith, because whatever I focus on is going to grow. Whatever I focus on is going to have greater power in my life. This is a time to bring your focus on your faith. And your faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. What I do in this season? Shift your focus. Shift your focus from fear to faith. Some of you need to cut off the news. Yes, some of you are so informed, you're in fear. Cut the news off and open up the word of God and begin to speak it over your soul. Shift your focus. The disciples, the tragedy of this text is not that they were locked in a room. It's that they were locked in to fear. And not just fear, also anxiety. Because there's a difference between fear and anxiety. Fear is an emotional response to a perceived or real threat that is imminent. Anxiety is different. Anxiety is the anticipation of a future threat. Oh, yeah, fear is like a thunderstorm. It comes and it goes to the side, but anxiety is like a constant rain that just drowns out your soul. They have anxiety in this room. Think about this. They're looking around going, they just killed Jesus. I wonder if they're coming after me. Anxiety had filled their hearts. You know how it is when every noise makes you go, oh, what is that? What is that? They had anxiety. I can feel the disciples a little bit. I had one of those moments. Have you ever watched something scary and then had something scary happen while you're watching something that was scary? This happened to me not too long ago. I was watching this movie that I will not give you the title of, especially during a quarantine. You do not need to watch this movie because it feels like we are living in this movie right now. But in this movie, it was a post-apocalyptic movie. And there was a family who was just trying to survive. They're going down the aisles. All the toilet tissue was gone. Barely any food there. I mean, it's a post-apocalyptic movie. And the family is in fear and they have anxiety because these extraterrestrial monsters in the time, They were blind, but they had an acute sense of hearing. These monsters were blind, but they could hear. So all throughout the movie, the family is walking in silence, trying to make sure they don't make a noise before these extraterrestrial monsters who can hear just come out and grab them. So I am watching this movie by myself in the bedroom one night. I don't know why. And I'm watching it, and like 90% of the movie is in silence because the monsters, as soon as they hear noise, they come after you. So I'm watching this movie, and it's quiet, and I'm doing everything the characters are doing on the screen. When they're quiet, I'm quiet. When they're sweating, I'm sweating. When their heart starts beating, my heart starts beating. And as I'm watching this movie, my anxiety is high. The movie's quiet, I'm quiet. And all of a sudden, in the silence, in the quiet, I hear, "Babe, what do you want for dinner?" I almost passed out, Taylor screaming. In the background, I'm like, we about to be dinner because these monsters that have an acute sense of hearing about to kill us. I almost passed out. The anxiety. This is what the disciples are feeling in that room that day. Their anxiety is high. And watch this. Right in the midst of their anxiety, here comes Jesus. Straight out of a Stephen King novel or an M. Night Shyamalan movie, Jesus just appears in the room. Read your Bible. That's what it says. He just appears in the room. I don't know if he came through thin air. I don't know if he walked through the wall. All I know is that the door was locked. The disciples have anxiety, and Jesus just shows up in the room. They're afraid, and Jesus just shows up in the room. They've got anxiety. And Jesus just shows up in the room. They feel like they're about to die. And Jesus just shows up in the room. They knew they locked the door, but Jesus just shows up in the room. I want to pause right here and thank God that he can show up in locked places. That places where you locked the door, you were sure he can't get in here. Nobody can get in. How many know there is no locked door that our God can't get through? Come on, he just got up from the grave. Surely he can walk through a wall or a locked door. He can come into any area of your life. Hear me today, wherever you're watching this, there is no locked place that your God cannot invade. He can step in and show up even in the midst of your fear and your anxiety. He just showed up. What do you do when you're locked in? Number one, you shift your focus. But number two, welcome his presence. Welcome his presence. When you are locked in, shift your focus, but welcome his presence. It's lonely in this sanctuary right now. incredibly lonely. I can't wait till we gather again and I can hear people shouting and clapping and giving God praise. But the building is closed. We're used to being in this building saying, God, we welcome your presence here. But perhaps in this season, God's trying to show some of us that the same presence you welcomed in the church building can be welcomed right there in your house. You need to get in your house right now and say, God, I welcome your presence in this living room. I welcome your presence in this bedroom. I welcome your presence in my kids' room. I welcome your presence in this kitchen. Welcome his presence. What do you do when you're locked in? You welcome his presence. The disciples, they didn't welcome his presence. They actually were terrified. They were scared to death that Jesus just showed up. In fact, I want us to read it in Luke's account. Luke gives us some details that John doesn't give. He says, they thought they were seeing a ghost, and they were scared half to death. He continued with them, don't be upset, and don't let all these doubting questions take over. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It's really me. Touch me. Look me over from head to toe. A ghost doesn't have muscle and bone like this. And as he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. They still couldn't believe what they were seeing. It was too much. It seemed too good to be true. They did not welcome his presence. They were terrified in his presence to the point they believed he was a ghost. They're like, no, he's not real. He's not real. They thought he was a ghost. That sounds familiar. When was the last time they were afraid and thought he was a ghost? Oh, I remember when he was walking on the water one night in the midst of a storm, and these same disciples were scared and they thought he was a ghost and didn't believe him. Isn't that funny that whether he was walking on water or walking through a wall, they did not believe he was really Jesus. They thought he was a ghost because they were scared. You know why I'm telling you to welcome his presence? It's because often when we are worried, you will wonder if he's really with you. Often when you are scared to death, those are the times you question, God, is that really you? Or you're a ghost? In Luke's account, they made him eat a piece of fish to prove that he was real. That's how I know some disciples had to be black. They just had to be like, no, I ain't with this exorcism stuff. No, hold on. I see dead people. Back up a little bit, Jesus. Hold on, get that catfish out of the fridge and then give it to him. And if he eats it, he's not a ghost. They didn't even believe that he wasn't a ghost, because when you are worried, sometimes you wonder whether he's really with you. But can I tell you, even when you're worried, he's with you. Can I tell you that our God, Psalm says, is an ever-present help in the time of trouble? Some people don't want trouble. How many of you know if you're avoiding trouble, you're avoiding God to be an ever-present help in that trouble? He is an ever-present help. Don't you let that worry make you wonder if he's with you. It's not a ghost. He is there. Welcome. Welcome his presence. I love it because if they would have welcomed his presence, which he forced them to, he took their focus. He said, here's how he did it. He said, come here. Touch my wounds. Feel the wounds in my side. Feel the wounds in my hands. Feel the wounds in my feet. And as they came close and felt the wounds of this resurrected Jesus, they realized he's real. And immediately their fear turned to joy. Their circumstance didn't change, but because their focus was on him and because they welcomed his presence and touched his wounds, immediately their fear turned into joy. Welcome his presence. Those wounds represented that he paid the price for sin, that he paid the debt that nobody else could pay. He said, touch my wounds and know that my presence is real with you, even in your fear, even in your anxiety. I love it because he didn't just have them touch his wounds. He also spoke a word. You ever notice the first words that came out of the mouth of the resurrected Jesus? The first words to these frightened disciples out of the mouth of a resurrected Jesus was peace be with you. The first thing he said to them was peace be with you. As a matter of fact, he said it twice. He said, peace be with you. Later said, peace be with you. Then breathed on him and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Just as my Father sent me, I am sending you. First words, peace be with you. He didn't even have to say it, because how many of you know Jesus is peace? He is the personification of peace. But yet his first words resurrected were, peace be with you. What do you do when you're locked in? Number one, you shift your focus. Number two, you welcome his presence. But number three, you receive his peace. Receive his peace. He said, peace be with you. Now, at surface level, peace be with you is a common greeting that many Jews would have used. They still use it today. But how many of you know, coming out of the mouth of a resurrected Jesus, oh, peace be with you was deeper than a greeting. Oh, peace be with you had power coming out of the mouth of Jesus. When he said, peace be with you the first time, how many of you know, that's proof positive that he is the Prince of Peace, not the Prince of Petty. Because come on, I'm gonna be honest with you. If that's me, and I went to the cross, and the disciples deserted me the way they deserted Jesus, you know, they just ran. As soon as things got rough, every single one of them deserted him. Not just Peter, all of them forsook him and walked away. So if it's me and I get up from the grave like I told you I was going to do, and I come through the wall in a room, please believe the first words out of my mouth are not going to be peace be with you. The words out of my mouth are going to be, where were you? No, for real, where were you when I needed you? Surely the disciples had to be feeling some guilt in that moment. It wasn't just Peter that denied them. All of them denied him, and yet even after denying them him, even after their feelings of guilt, here walks in grace saying, peace be with you. Peace be with you was the declaration out of the mouth of a resurrected Savior that could only be declared because of a crucified Savior who said, it is finished. Receive his peace. Watch this. From your past. Receive peace for the sins of the past. That is what he's saying to them. That it don't matter what you've done in your past, it don't matter how messed up your past has been, how many know because of what Jesus did on that cross, you can have peace. Some of you keep letting the enemy replay your past mistakes, replay all the things you did wrong, and you think God is in heaven mad at you. No, can I tell you, he is not mad at you. He is in love with you because he already paid the price for the sin. So why do you keep beating yourself up about it? Peace be with you. That peace is able to go back to every sin that has ever been committed, that will ever be committed. Peace be with you. That means you don't have to have guilt over your past. I love this idea of peace. It's actually what the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 5. I want to read this to you. This is a powerful passage of scripture in Romans chapter 5. Receive his peace, peace over your past. Paul says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We have peace over what we've done in our past because of the price that Jesus paid on the cross. He doesn't just say peace be still once. He says peace be still again. The first time was for my past. The second time is for my present. I need peace with God because only Jesus could pay the debt of sin. And when he said it is finished, the debt was completely paid. I have peace over my sin, over the mistakes of my past. I am in right standing with God. But how many of you know I need the second peace be with you because I need peace right now. I need peace in my present. I need peace in the midst of all that is going on in the world right now. I need present peace. This is the peace that the Apostle Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4, where he says, do not be anxious about anything, but but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That peace is the peace that allows you to be calm in the middle of a storm. You know how Paul is writing about peace in Philippians? How in the world can this apostle write about peace? Because you know where he is. He's not on a palatial island. He is not in paradise. He's in prison. He's locked up. But how many of you know it has nothing to do with where you are in life? Sometimes you don't get to pick where you are, but I can always choose what I'm locked into. See, Paul understood the power of being locked in, the power of focus. He said, yes, I'm in this prison, but I can still have peace. Do you know how many things Paul wrote being locked up, but he was locked in? Come on, when he was locked in, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When he was locked up but locked in, he said, I've learned in whatever state I'm in therewith to be content. When he was locked up but locked in, he understood that heaven and earth may pass away, but his word won't pass away. You can be locked up but still locked in to who Jesus is. Where's your focus? I know some of you are going crazy because you're locked in a room, locked in a house. You can't help that. But can I tell you today, you can choose what you're locked into. You can choose your focus. What do you do when you're locked in? Number one, you got to shift your focus. Number two, you got to welcome his presence. He can meet you wherever you are. Number three, receive his peace. I have peace with God because of the price that Jesus paid. I have peace in my presence, in my present, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that gives me calm in the midst of the storm. Locked in. I'm going to ask you to bow your head wherever you are. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just find you a place of quiet. Father, I thank you today for your word. Lord, I thank you that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of all of the challenges, in the midst of expectations that have died, people that we love that have died, plans being wrecked, schedules being ruined, Father, I thank you that we can still choose our lock-in. Lord, I pray today that our focus would be on you. God, that we would fix our eyes on you, just as you did, Father. You said, for the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross, despising its shame. Father, even with the cross in front of you, you had a lock-in to joy on the other side. So, Lord, in this time, in this season, I pray that even if we're locked up, Lord, we will fix our lock in on you. Lord, I pray we would welcome your presence, that we would receive your peace. Right there with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to pray for two groups of people. Some of you, if you're honest, you don't have peace with God. Not because he hasn't paid the price, but because you have not confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I love it because salvation is a free gift that you receive. Don't let the enemy lie to you. You don't have to fix yourself to come to God. You don't have to get yourself together. You come to him just as you are. You can have peace with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. So if that's you and you're watching this, wherever you are, and you say, you know, if I'm honest, I've not surrendered my life to Jesus, but today, I've got to give him my life. I want a peace that the world can't give, that money can't buy, a peace that is a solid foundation because of the finished work of Jesus. He said, it is finished, so that he could declare peace be with you. If that's you and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, would you just lift up your hand right where you are? I know it might seem awkward. People might be in the room. That's cool, but just right where you are, God sees you. Lift up your hand. Thank you. You can put it right back down. I want to pray for somebody who says, you know what? I need peace in my present. You're saying, I've surrendered my life to Jesus, but I'm seeing some scary stuff right now, and I need peace in the present. I need to shift my focus back to who Jesus is. If that's you, I believe God's going to give you that peace even right now. This is the moment for the church to show peace in the midst of the storm. If you need that peace, would you just lift up your hand? Thank you, God. I want you to repeat this prayer after me, especially if you lift up your hand that first time. Would you say this from your heart? I'm going to give you the words, but you declare it from your heart. Just say, dear Jesus, thank you so much for loving me enough to pay the price for my sin. Father, thank you that your blood washes my sin away. I have peace with you, God, because of the price that Jesus paid on the cross. So today I declare you are the Son of God. You live for me. You died for me. You are coming back for me. But until that day, all that I am is yours. Until that day, I will have peace even in suffering. I will have peace in the midst of the storm. Lord, help me to be locked in to you. I welcome your presence into every area of my life, and I receive your peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, if you meant what you prayed, why don't you just celebrate right where you are and give God some praise. Hallelujah.
What a great message. Thanks, Pastor Robert.
I love the Medus. That's like the fourth time they've ministered to our church. And so thank you so much, Robert. Thank you, Taylor. We love you guys. I want to encourage any person here that wants to give their life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you did during the service today, please go to myeternity.com/Jesus. Follow the prompts there. Learn about this great and blessed life with Jesus Christ. So we love you. Please do that.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.